Attention listeners.
I'm pleased to announce that Radio Rental is returning for another installment of Terrifying Tales. If you happen to be new here, I'm Terry Carnation, current proprietor of the Radio Rental Video Store, where I possess a collection of the scariest true stories you've ever heard, all told by real people. Mark your calendars for... Oh, apparently it's available right now. I'm a little late with this promo.
Listen for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL Plasma Center and be rewarded for your generosity.
Good morning to you. Happy Friday. It's also a Hall of Flame Friday here on CBS Sports Radio. So we are asking you, and we will let you hear the candidates one more time this hour, but we're asking you to help us choose our newest inductee to the After Hours Hall of Flame. It's completely different than the Hall of Fame, as in the opposite, really. Well, you're a Hall of Famer with your mouth. That's what it boils down to. Funny, no one's ever tried to induct me into my own Hall of Flame. I can't believe it's been a year since we've done an induction. We've talked about it a bunch. I've wanted to do it a bunch, but we just haven't been able to. Sometimes we have to focus on the main thing, keeping the main thing, which is the radio show. And it does often happen that some of the other ancillary features and elements we'd love to incorporate as part of the After Hours brand, we just don't get to them. We can't keep up with them. Our YouTube channel goes dormant for long stretches. We try to keep up with you on social media. We've got a few plans this spring, but April's so unbelievably busy, and I was gone, not only on vacation, but gone for a few shows each week while I was teaching my class at Syracuse. So yeah, it's been one heck of a month, but I got to tell you, we're coming out of the fog, or I'm coming out of the fog. I was the one that was in the fog. So I'm coming out of the fog and getting my life organized again. Now 48 hours away from waking up to run a half marathon. So if I survive that, I will feel as though I survived my April. But you know, that's not what makes it worth it. I love the radio shows that we do in the springtime. They're crazy chaos, but I do love them. What has made the nuttiness, the chaos, and honestly, at times I was overwhelmed the last month. What has made it all worth it is getting feedback from some of the students that I taught in my first class as an adjunct professor at Syracuse University. I have to share this one with you because it just reminds me it was all worth it and that all the effort I put into it actually made an impact. So this is my Friday favor, my Friday smile, actually. This comes from a student named Jacob. Hi, Professor Lawrence. Still getting used to that. I just wanted to thank you again for the past 4 weeks and for last night. Now, he wrote this after he had come to the radio show and sat there with me and a couple of other students for 2 hours on Monday night. So he got out of class on Monday evening, and he and a couple of other students then showed up to hang out while I was doing the show from the campus. So just wanted to thank you again for the past 4 weeks and for last night. It was so cool to see you implement everything we spoke about in class over the past few weeks in your show. So many things you did stood out to me that I don't think I would have noticed if I hadn't taken the class. The Monday classes always flew by, and I really enjoyed every class a lot. Thank you again for an amazing last 4 weeks of the semester. Oh, this is a sophomore in college. So younger even than my nieces. And he took my class, which is called The Art of Radio. I built it from scratch. I took notes upon furious notes all of the fall when I was putting it together and designing it. And then I had to build a syllabus and had to put together a proposal. I don't know whether or not the school asked me back to teach it again, but I certainly hope that I get another opportunity because I believe I can do it even better than this semester. Anyway, getting that note from Jacob and a couple other notes from students that took the class, there were only 8 of them, but they were an eclectic mix, different personalities, different strengths and weaknesses, different stages of choosing and deciding what they want to do in their radio careers. It was such a blessing on me. It was such a blessing on me to be able to connect with them and to feel like they were the best guinea pigs I could have asked for. I told them that. I told them they were my guinea pigs as a professor. But that sweet text popped up on Tuesday and just really made all the exhaustion and the, let's see how many miles I put on Princess Leia. 460 roughly each week. So you stretch that out. We're talking about 1,800 miles on my car just in those 4 Monday/Tuesday round trips. Those are a lot of mileage and a lot of miles. But it was worth it. Definitely worth it. I hope Princess Leia feels like it was worth it too. She might need to tune up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Of course, Princess Leia, not a reference to May the 4th, but I hope you had a great Star Wars day. Princess Leia, instead the name that I've given my car. Laugh if you must.
Put that thing away, you're going to get us all killed.
But yesterday was the opportunity for me to embrace my inner Star Wars nerd more than usual. We got so many tweets and Facebook messages from those of you who also celebrate Star Wars Day. We put a photo array up with some of the original characters that we love so much, and so many of you responded. It's super cool. Glad to connect with you over something like that that has literally nothing to do with sports. And yet, very important to me. It makes me happy. Star Wars makes me happy. It's a good hobby. I did not watch any Star Wars movies yesterday, but I am planning a Star Wars movie night for this Friday. Isn't it supposed to be something about Revenge of the Fifth? Well, Revenge of the Sith, but Revenge
That's
of the
today.
Fifth.
It's a little too much. The May the 4th is fun. That's good. We don't need Revenge of the Fifth, too.
We don't? Well, on this May 5th, I will be watching a movie that does, in fact, feature a Sith Lord. So I suppose there's that. There's that tie. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page, too. We're asking you to vote for the latest Hall of Flame inductee. Again, you'll hear the candidates coming up. If you haven't heard them, you will hear them before the end of the hour. Right now, we've seen a shift. We had one candidate who was clearly leading the charge, but apparently he turned out to be a rabbit. And that's a horse racing reference, but he turned out to be a rabbit. Then we had a 3-horse race, and now we've got a different horse who's come from behind and has taken the lead. But I suspect when we play the candidates for you again, we'll get some new votes, and that poll will continue on through your Friday. So you can vote whenever you have the chance, and we will do the big reveal. We're going to wait, I guess, until Sunday night, Monday, because the poll is still live for another, how many hours? 22 hours or so? Yeah, so we'll wait till the poll is done. But check it out on Twitter or Facebook, and the candidates you'll hear again coming up. In case you were worried about the Warriors, in case you thought that maybe they were out of gas, and this run, while it was fun, is now done, oh, think again. Second and third quarters against the Lakers last night. These are the Warriors that went to 5 straight NBA Finals.
Poole takes it to Draymond. Draymond outside the arc. Low pass, good catch by Wiggins, and he hits a 3 over James on the left sideline. 45-42. Klay Thompson takes a 3 and hits it. Floats it high over a double team. It's up and good. Largest lead of the night for the Warriors right now, 48-42. Rebound tipped by Dante, saved to Wiggins. What a play by Dante. Wiggins off and running. Throws right side. Thompson catch and shoot 3. It's pure! 63-50, Klay now with a 19-point half. Down to 15 seconds. Chase Center starting to rise up here as one. Curry gets doubled. feeds Draymond. Draymond will attack. Nobody home. He dunked it with 6.9 to go. James just stared at him.
LeBron James had a hot start. The Lakers had an early lead, not a huge one, but an early lead at Chase Center. And as I'm watching the game, it feels like Chase is a little nervous, little anxious. I wouldn't say over the top. I wouldn't say panic. I would just say a little bit. But in the second quarter, not only did Klay Thompson get hot, but the Warriors looked more like that team that's in the rhythm and the flow and sharing the basketball and running the court and using the defense to turn into offense, getting up and down. And as they swing the ball around and find the open man, the defense is left scrambling. Second quarter, 41 points. It only got more decisive in the third quarter.
Draymond to facilitate here. Nice bounce pass to Klay, but Reeves recovers. Runs Reeves through a screen. Klay shoots on the way. Three ball, and he's still hot. Knocked it down. He's got 22. Curry behind the back with the dribble. Avoids Anthony Davis. Splits traffic. Beats Jamichael Green. Up top to Wiggins. Open three look. Top of the key. Knocked it down. 74-60, the Warriors have their largest lead of the game right now. Draymond right down Broadway, feeds over Jamichael Green. Corner three up, good for Jamichael Green. 77-64, Curry quickly up the floor, finds the cutter. Jamichael Green goes for the dunk and got it with James on his back. 79-64, Wiggins up the floor.
Push it.
Takes it left side, Thompson, pump fake, fly by, three ball, good! Lakers. Klay drives it on Russell, goes up and scores the layup. 99-74 with 2:10 to go in the third. Klay's got 30.
I thought we just played simple basketball, kept our turnovers down, moved the ball. Our guys were playing with a lot of force, a lot of aggressiveness, but making good decisions within, that aggression. And that's the key. Can you find that balance? Can you play with pace and confidence and yet make really simple decisions, hit singles and just move the ball?
They have a lot of pride, a ton of pride. They're a championship ball club for a reason. And after game one, we fully anticipated them to come out and throw some haymakers, which they did. And, you know, Klay got off. He was seeing the ball go in early and often. So, again, we got our work cut out for us. You don't get this to this point in the season by it being easy. You have to buckle down, do your homework. Look at ways, you know, the W's and L's, the wisdom and losses, lessons. Look at ways you can get better from it.
Darvin Ham, and before that, Steve Kerr. This was definitely a two-quarter performance by the Warriors that we've never seen before. And in fact, it's history for them. They've never gone over 40 in two different quarters of a playoff game in their franchise history. Everything we saw from them in those five straight runs to the finals, even their 73-win season, they've never had two quarters quite like the second and third last night. Red hot from beyond the arc, and Klay Thompson had one of those games that causes your mouth to drop open. 8 of 11 from three-point land, and between he and Steph, fellow Splash brother, one-legged, facing away from the basket, coming around screens, not squaring up, guys in their faces. Yeah, it didn't matter. This was classic Splash Brothers. So 20 for Steph, but 12 assists for Steph. And he's okay doing whatever it is that he needs to do. And if that means setting up his teammate, Klay Thompson, then that's what it means. And actually, he feels like Klay was maybe a little extra motivated by a tough shooting game in the opener, plus game 7 going against the Sacramento Kings. We know that Klay gets really upset if his shot's not dropping. He's told us that in the past. But also, this is a series that will put Klay back in LA in front of his family and friends. And it's a big deal for him to be facing the Lakers after his dad played with the Showtime Lakers in the 80s.
There's a point of emphasis on trying to get the ball in my hands a little bit more to start, but the rest of it's just kind of read and react, taking what's there. They obviously had a game plan, and we tried to make adjustments, and I'm sure that'll continue throughout the rest of the series. And that's the beauty of what we can do, is playing a lot of different ways, trying to create good offense a lot of different ways, using gravity. But that was connected with our defense and the emphasis on not fouling, trying to make them earn, you know, everything they got on that end of the floor. Obviously, Bron came out hot, hit some tough jumpers early, but we stuck with the game plan and played to our favor.
So it doesn't assist for Steph Curry. As for Klay Thompson, really looking forward to being back in his hometown of L.A., maybe warming up there after he has 30 points. And LeBron had a good start too, right? So LeBron had 14 points in that first quarter, but they just didn't have the same offensive pop to be able to keep up with the Warriors once the Warriors started these runs. And, of course, this is fairly classic Golden State Warriors. So, yeah, LeBron James, 14 in the first quarter, did finish with 23, but not enough help from the rest of the Lakers.
They made the adjustments, and, you know, we knew they're going to do that. That's what a championship team does. And, you know, they held serve on their home court tonight. And we got to obviously see the adjustments they make. We got to make our adjustments coming into game three.
LeBron's one of those special players, like, you know, the Michaels, Kobe's, LeBron, who bring out the best in you, especially from a competitive standpoint. And it's always an honor to match up against the greats. So, it's not us versus LeBron James, though. They have a very complete team, the Lakers do. And, I mean, the fact they're still doing this at 38 years old is incredible and inspiring for athletes, you know, everywhere.
But the Lakers need more than that. I'm pretty sure he called him LeBron. I like that. That's kind of what I would do. I would definitely mix my syllables and my words in my words and also add a few extra letters here and there. Yeah, so LeBron has 23, but Anthony Davis coming off that monster game in the opener really was limited in the number of shots he could take. Draymond Green did a great job on him. Darvin Ham acknowledged it afterwards. So trying to prevent Anthony Davis from even getting the ball where he can do damage with it only allowed him 11 shots. And Davis is playing a lot of minutes. Now, he says he took all the same shots that he took in the opener. They just weren't dropping, but he didn't take nearly as many. So he finished with 11 points, did have a few block shots in there to go along with a few rebounds. But Draymond was definitely motivated, and we know the kind of defender that Draymond is. So one game for each, and yes, L.A. will host next. And that's a big deal for the Warriors because they only won 11 games on the road in the regular season, though they've got two in a row now coming off the games against Sacramento. It just blows my mind that we could end up with either, well, we will end up with either the Lakers or the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals. Because the Warriors were so bad all season long away from home and barely stayed out of that play-in tournament. The Lakers, if not for a late surge in the regular season, when they got LeBron back, they could have missed the postseason altogether. But they were in the play-in tournament and survived that and then took out the Grizzlies. Gosh, the playoffs take on a mind of their own. But yeah, I didn't think the Warriors were championship material this year, but they go a game at a time. They are impervious to pressure. They know exactly what to do under pressure, and that gives them such an incredible edge, not to mention the skilled players that they have on the roster. Even if a lot of the role players have changed, that core is still the same. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, we're looking for you to vote for the newest Hall of Fame inductee. You will hear them coming up next. A little bit of Draymond Green, some Jason Tatum, short and sweet, actually, but honest. And then what would this newest Hall of Fame induction be without two loudmouths from the NFL? Thanks for joining us. Happy Friday to you. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
We're talking about practice.
On After Hours, the biggest meltdowns in sports history.
Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
I'm a man! I'm 40!
I want to eat his children!
Are immortalized with an infamous distinction.
Can't do it.
They are who we thought they were.
You play to win the game.
Now it's time for Amy Lawrence to bring you tonight's candidates for the After Hours Hall of Flame.
What is the Hall of Flame?
Place you go when you crash and burn.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Here's Amy Lawrence.
Done this in over a year. It's been a really long time. I can't believe actually that I've allowed a year to pass. I've mentioned it multiple times. We just didn't quite get our acts together, or it just happened to be busy with everything else because sports never stop. But we've got four, I think, pretty worthy candidates. You get to choose who joins the others already immortalized in the After Hours Hall of Flame. So the poll is up on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or my Twitter, plus on Facebook. We're going to let it run through the rest of Friday, and then we will do the great reveal coming up on our Sunday night show. But we've got two from the NBA, two from the NFL, and I know you're not surprised that Draymond Green is leading the charge. Remember when Dylan Brooks tried to talk about how Draymond Green... blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Dylan Brooks, who no longer has a job. I guess Draymond Green got the last laugh in more ways than one.
This idiot said, I don't know what Draymond does out there. He said, I don't like Draymond at all. You don't know me. Draymond talks a lot. You talk a lot now. So if you have four rings, sure, you talk a lot more. For All-Stars, you probably talk a bit more. Defensive Player of the Year? You for damn sure would talk more. Two Olympic gold medals? You definitely would be talking, because that would mean you beat Team USA. And we all know how that goes. So gets away with a lot, too. What exactly do I get away with? I have 15 texts, one less than your dumb ass. Next time you speak up on me, I hope you're in a better situation than you in now, where the guys you play with actually enjoy playing with you because they actually think you're contributing to winning. Because it ain't happening right now, champ. Ah, you're not a champ. You're a clown.
Ooh, it's even more painful knowing that Dylan Brooks doesn't have a job right now. And so he's piling on at the end of the regular season, but gosh, when you think about Dylan's postseason arc and the whole, I don't care, he's old and he's going to have to put 40 on me to impress me, that whole mess with the Lakers.
Bears.
And the fact that the Grizzlies don't want him back. A little more biting and caustic from Draymond, but man, it sure hits the mark. All right, Jason Tatum's not nearly that divisive, but he does tell the truth. Coming off his NBA All-Star Game MVP and 55 points, he did not have quite the same juice when he got back to the Celtics.
It was either I left all my shooting in Utah or still drunk from vacation.
Oh, dear.
That's how I played the night.
The Celtics won that game, by the way, so I suppose they survived despite Jason Tatum not quite returning from the All-Star Game in a timely fashion. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Aaron Rodgers, you knew after everything that's happened in the last 2 months that there was no way we could do a Hall of Fame induction without him. Timely, this induction. 6 weeks ago, well, he wasn't as giddy and gushy as he is right now. He's found a new love with the New York Jets. But boy, when he came out of his darkness retreat, imagine his surprise when he realized that the Packers were planning to go in a different direction, and also that so many NFL insiders out there dared to report on what his future and his decision-making process might look like.
I didn't say I'm going to my darkest retreat just to figure out if I want to play next year or retire, right? So then that narrative got out there. So how many f***ing narratives can come from one like show where they didn't even actually listen to what I said, or the intent or the tone? And again, nothing against Rappaport, but he doesn't have anybody who knows legitimately what's going on in my life. So don't make it up, okay? Like, I don't have your number. You're not going to have my number. You do a great job, but not when it comes to my life, so stop talking about me.
6 weeks later, it's like a different Aaron Rodgers. But man, he was on fire in that appearance of the Pat McAfee Show, which goes back 6 weeks now. What a difference a trade to the New York Jets can make. Now he's an A-list celebrity. He's dressing the part. He's getting standing ovations and free pizza everywhere he goes. Oh.
Don't make it up, okay? Don't have your number. You're not going to have my number.
You survived just fine. Stop complaining.
Totally fine.
All right, we're finishing up with, well, classic Travis Kelce. Now, he dropped his favorite J word multiple times over the Chiefs postseason run, but it wasn't until they got to the victory formation, Union Station, Kansas City, ticker tape parade, Super Bowl championship number two, give Travis Kelce the mic.
Hey, I got some wise words for that Cincinnati mayor. Know your role and shut your mouth, you jabroni. You gotta fight for your right to party.
You know what? We really could take that audio and use it at any point in the postseason run because the J word is his favorite. He even used it on his podcast. I had to Google it. I didn't know what it meant. Many of you set the record straight. There is no one quite like Travis Kelce.
Mayor Jabroni.
Oh, he's one of my favorites. Honestly, not Aaron Rodgers, but Dre, Jason, or Travis, I would love to have as a co-host on a podcast. I think that'd be fantastic. People have asked me before on Ask Amy Anything, who would you most like to have as the co-host on your show? And honestly, one of my first answers is generally Draymond Green. And see, Draymond has a softer side of him. He's a big mouth. He's an instigator. He's certainly a champion. He's a great talker. He's also a dad. And he keeps bringing his kiddos to the post-game press conference. Oh, did you hear this? You may, actually, if you're just waking up on your Friday morning and weren't paying attention through the end of the Warriors game or through the post-game reaction. Draymond had his kiddos with him at the podium when he was answering questions about what was nearly a triple-double for him, mostly the defense that was highlighted last night against Anthony Davis. And his kiddos are up there. They're playing with him. They're happy. And, yeah, he's like a completely different guy.
Okay. All right. 1 second. Let Papa finish, okay? Okay. You know, we miss so much at times with our kids. You know, and I think that's every working parent, right? It's not just us as basketball players. With that comes a lot of work. And, you know, the times that you miss, it sucks. Anyone in here who's a parent, you know, understands that. And, you know, when you're able to share these moments with them, it's special. You know, I'll look back at some of these pictures, look back at some of these interviews and moments, and you just really appreciate them. And I'm always thankful of the Warriors organization and the NBA as a whole, because they don't have to allow our kids to be up here. You know, like, it's not something that they have to do. And I understand that. I'm very appreciative of them allowing that, because I think it, you know, we always talk about, like, kid energy in here. Like, you bring the kid energy, it just lightens the mood. It's always so serious, and you do this over and over and over again. And when you're just able to get the energy of children in here, it's always special. So it's something that I don't take for granted. I'm very appreciative, like I said, of our organization and the access they allow our children to have.
Going back to the Warriors' very first run to a championship, I remember that Steph brought his daughter Riley, who's not a kid anymore, but his daughter Riley, and she was so cute, and she would sit next to him and be quiet. You're too loud. I mean, it was adorable. We played it a bunch here on the show because it was really cute. And I think that is something that I've not heard from Draymond before about the fact that he appreciates the NBA allowing them to take their kids up there if they want to. And the fact that he knows he's away from his kids a lot. And also the fact that he called himself Papa. Now, see, does that make you not want to vote for him for the After Hours Hall of Fame? It's the two sides, the two faces, the two personalities of Draymond Green.
All right, 1 second. Let Papa finish, okay?
Now, see, there you just want to like him for being a cute Papa. And his kids are adorable. Okay. On Twitter, After Hours CBS, our Facebook page too, we're looking for your votes for the After Hours Hall of Flame. Is it Dre? Is it Jay? Is it A? Or is it... Yeah, I don't have any way to put Trey. Well, I guess I could say Trey, but it's not Travis, Kelsey. You catch my drift. Just go vote.
You are.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL Plasma Center and be rewarded for your generosity.
You're listening to the After Hours Podcast.
The Dolphins. Six along the front. Jackson will keep it. He's got room. He's at the 30. It's a leg race. 40. Lamar Jackson midfield and going 40. One man to beat 30. He's to the 20. 10, 5, touchdown with a tumble. And Lamar Jackson has pushed the Dolphins back into a deep hole.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Jerry Sandusky is the play-by-play voice of Baltimore Ravens football. And yes, in fact, there will be more Lamar Jackson touchdowns coming up this season, because we know the contract is now signed, sealed, and delivered. And Lamar, he's happy. John Harbaugh, he's happy, though at least publicly he always remained hopeful. Eric DaCosta warned us sometimes negotiations take a while and it's just business. Except it felt as though the two were headed for a divorce for quite a while. It just neither could find another partner, if you will. Lamar couldn't find another team willing to dance, and the Ravens would have been out, as in out of luck, SOL, without Lamar Jackson. So this is really the best case scenario for both these sides, which I'd said multiple times over the course of the last several months. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I do love, though, how the narrative has changed. The narrative and the actual path to get to this point. Well, it's not what we thought.
I really didn't care for other teams, really. I just really wanted to get something down here. I wanted to be here. It was like, man, okay, other teams cool, but I want to be a Raven. Like I said something 2018, you know, I think it was April 26th, if I'm not mistaken. And I meant that, you know, I'm standing on that until I get it done. So I really wanted to get this done before anything, before my time up and branch off somewhere else. You know, I really want to finish my career here and win the Super Bowl here.
I actually don't know the answer to this because I was sleeping when this was taking place, but did anyone ask him why he asked for a trade then? That's what I really want to know. Why would Lamar ask for a trade then if this was the place he always wanted to be? Maybe to protect himself. You know, that Eric DaCosta indicated that they did the non-exclusive franchise tag because they believed they had to protect themselves, and also because it costs less money if, in fact, he signs that tag over the exclusive tag. But yeah, that's the question that I didn't see an answer to. Why not just request the trade, but why put it out there that you did ask for a trade? So we're talking 27 months, twists, turns, real challenging negotiations, no one Lamar's part, no one the Ravens' part. Instead, it's full speed ahead and all is forgotten. I hope that's the case. He says it really does make a difference to him that the Ravens pursued him.
It means a lot, you know, just to have, you know, guys, your head coach and your GM wanting you to be here and believing you can help your team achieve the almighty, ultimate goal, you know, within football and the NFL football at that. It's like, you know, I wouldn't want to go no other place.
I'm glad there's short-term memory loss and all has been forgiven and it's smooth sailing. And of course, while he was still in negotiations with the team, Odell Beckham Jr. signed and Nelson Aguilar signed, both Super Bowl champions. They drafted a receiver at 22nd. And so they feel like they've beefed up that room as well. And come to find out, Lamar was actually hearing from OBJ, who apparently was an ambassador and a recruiter for his brand new team. You can imagine that Odell did not want the Ravens to turn somewhere else to either go with a rookie or with Tyler Huntley or yada, yada, yada. According to Lamar, the hardest part was the fans were freaking out.
I love the fan base like crazy. Like, I can't even explain it, like how much I love the fan base. You know, I was getting messages from them like people crying, like sad in my DMs. I'm like, man, like they got me sad. I'm like, bro, like y'all don't know what's going on. Like, just calm down, man. Like, we making progress. I want to tell them we making progress, but I don't want to tell them because I don't want to spoil what's going on, you know? So it's like, man, just be patient. If anything, be patient with me because like, I'm not trying to go nowhere, you know, no matter what you guys see. Like, the final say-so is what's going to be printed out when I'm signing and stuff like that. Don't worry about what everyone else is saying.
Gosh, I had no idea all this was happening behind the scenes either. Although I can imagine the fans, there were some fans that were definitely freaking out about Lamar. This is best case scenario for both of these two parties. Lamar did not want to play on the franchise tag, exclusive or non-exclusive. And he didn't want to sit out a year. The Ravens had no other place to turn. I'm glad all parties came to their senses. But what about the negotiations, though? I mean, representing yourself, that had to be a little emotional.
I was always keeping in contact. Eric reached out to me a lot. And, you know, I, you know, comment back. Coach reached out to me. And we, you know, go back and forth with that. But definitely having Odell and, you know, those guys, you know, reach out to me as well. It's like, man, we need you here. And it was like, you know, I want to be there. It's not like I want to leave anyways. It was, you know, business.
All right. All right. All's well that ends well. All's fair in love and war.
Been a billionaire and been a champion.
Also, Lamar wants to throw for 6,000 yards this year. I mean, why not? Might as well shoot for the moon. One guy has gone over 6,000 yards, but that included playoffs. Not one guy. But the first guy to do it was Dan Marino going back to the 1984 season. But that's including playoffs. That was the year the Dolphins went to the Super Bowl. In terms of the regular season, Peyton Manning's gotten nearly 5,500 yards in one campaign. We've had a handful of quarterbacks now go over 5,000 yards. But in this current era, where the rules are slanted in favor of the quarterbacks and you can't touch them, and we know it's much more wide open and the league loves it when there are more points and more yards put up. First of all, last year, all those numbers were down, passing yards and points across the board, but also hasn't happened even with quarterbacks who throw, and that's certainly not going to be the MO of the Ravens, at least not all the time. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Don't you love how anytime a quarterback gets an extension, we instantly have to run to the other quarterbacks who might be in line for an extension or who might not? Dak Prescott's not in line for a contract extension. Why are we asking Dak Prescott whether or not he needs a contract extension? I don't know. I mean, he's not going to give us anything. He didn't give us anything. But what he did talk about is how it's, and it's kind of under the radar, right? It's happy, happy, joy, joy in Dallas right now.
Things have been great, honestly. Things have been great. The way that the coaches are working together, you can see their chemistry. You can see how together they are, and just making sure that they give us everything detailed and give it to us the right way, the first way. And right now, it's about getting comfortable at the plays that we want to run and finding out who exactly we want to be and what we run best. So right now, it's just taking as many bats, as many reps as we can of getting the plays, learning the plays, making the changes that we have on plays that we already have, and then really just finding the way that Mike's going to call this game.
Oh, Mike is going to call it this year, right? Mike McCarthy he's referring to. So Dak Prescott, he's alive, he's well. He's got a new receiver, Brandon Cooks, who's psyched, actually, to play alongside Dak. Now, remember, Brandon was in Houston the last couple years, so not a big move, but numbers off a little bit in 22. I mean, I suppose that stands to reason considering the offense was a mess. But 700 yards, 3 touchdowns, and now is trying to slot right in there with the Cowboys receiving room.
I've been around some great ones, and we've been throwing it. I got to tell you, that guy can sling that ball, and I'm just excited to be able to get going, no doubt. That's all I can say. He's special. That ball come out of his hand. He's special with it. His natural born leadership. There's a couple guys I've been around that can lead a team, and the way that he's doing it, to be this young is unbelievable for sure.
Is that shades of Tyreek Hill going to Miami with Tua? Now, a little bit different because Tyreek left Patrick Mahomes and went to Miami, but he spent an entire offseason, A, telling us that Tua was the most accurate quarterback in the NFL, B, telling us that he threw a great deep ball, and also, as a side note, telling us the Chiefs' offense would suffer without him, which didn't quite happen at all. But is this a little bit of that? Now, Brandon's coming from the Texans who had Davis Mills, and I even forgot who else they started last year. Who else did they play last year? Davis Mills. Ooh. And...
Right, they did put in someone, I forgot.
Exactly. That's how notable it is. I got to look it up, though, before we get done with the show, which now gives me just over a minute. The powers of Google. Don't tell me, Jay. I'm getting to it first. So Davis Mills last year and Kyle Allen, Jeff Driscoll? What? Davis Mills mostly. He had 3,100 yards. 17 touchdowns, 15 interceptions, 31 sacks. So there's that. Right. So Brandon Cooks came out of that and now heads into a new situation with a Dak Prescott who, yes, of course, has great leadership. We know that. He's the undisputed leader of that locker room.
I'd rather play with the most accurate quarterback in the NFL.
But also... can sling the ball. That's right. You bloom where you're planted, baby. Bloom where you're planted. All right. It's a big weekend in hoops and hockey. If I sound funny on Sunday night, I'm just warning you now, it's because I'm running a half marathon on Sunday and I may be a little bit sore and it'll affect my talking ability. But that shouldn't affect you. Vote for the Hall of Flame induction. We'll reveal on Sunday. Have a great weekend. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing, help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL plasma center and be rewarded for your generosity.